All right. Hello. Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 9, titled Automation Anywhere, Virtual Countries, The Theory of Genius, and Accelerating Scientific Progress. All right. Kind of a jam-packed one here, but a lot of them are kind of similar. So we'll kind of jump back and forth, but a lot of them have the same kind of theme. So let's jump into it right away with this first one. I can't really remember where I heard this. I think it was a recent podcast that I listened to, but a company called Automation Anywhere. it's kind of in the name of the company is like automating like every business like process. And I'll read a little bit about it. And again, I will include all the links in the details, so don't worry about that. You'll have access to that. So it says, let's talk intelligent automation. Here on it says, get a personalized demo of the world's most deployed RPA platform. I had to look that up. So RPA stands for robotic process automation. This just looks like a really innovative company, and I can't remember who recommended it, but this looks very future forward. I think the AI with this is going to be very revolutionary. So let me read a little bit more on it. So it says, go be great. So Automation Anywhere empowers people whose ideas, thought, and focus make the companies work for great. We deliver the world's most sophisticated digital workforce platform, making work more human by automating business process and liberating people. So it says, what is RPA? So robotic process automation. Enables you with the tools to create your own software robots to automate any business process. And at first it says RPA is a digital workforce of software robots that can execute any business process, period. So that's going to be huge for a lot of, I'm thinking like, I don't know, a lot of our, enterprise software businesses and just, all robotic companies, I think this is exactly what it's for. So this, I think, is going to be a pretty important one to pay attention to. So it says RPA bots can learn, they can be cloned, see how they are working and adjust and scale to you see fit. It's code-free, non-disruptive, non-invasive, and easy. So it looks like they just take care of all this automation for whatever business you have. Like, this looks really cool. RPA is the future of automation technology, enabling business to dramatically reduce operating costs by executing high volume repetitive tasks with zero error rates. Yeah, so reduce human error, 100% accuracy, integrate across platforms, improve customer experiences by 50%, it says. And it's, harness artificial intelligence, 70% end-to-end automation within 4 weeks. Okay, and then it kind of goes on RPA versus traditional enterprise automation tools. So, yeah, this looks to be the kind of the cutting-edge thing that's really going to revolutionize automation. And, so, yeah, this company, follow them on Twitter, and I will check them out on your own, see if you can contact them. Just like every business has a contact us page. So, see what you can do. See if you can work for them. Send them a shout out at least. Okay, well, let's move on to the idea of virtual country. So, well, this came out of, I know at first, so Vitalik Buterin, he was kind of the founder of Ethereum. And he was on the Portal podcast, which I highly recommend that one. I'll include that link in the notes too. That is hosted by Eric Weinstein. I big fan of his. He works under Peter Thiel at Thiel Capital. And you know, got a long time fan. I first heard of him on the Tim Ferriss show years ago. And, you know, Eric's now been on the Joe Rogan podcast. You probably have listened to that, you know, he's been on a couple times now, but so he had Vitalik on, and yeah, it was a really good discussion. Just kind of, you know, a lot of, you know, crypto talk, obviously, and smart contracts. That's kind of what Ethereum is. But, you know, a lot of it was more, a little bit more high level talk with, you know, like the idea of virtual cities, virtual communities. So that caught my attention. And I know he said that there's a lot in China that are already started. There's like, I don't know, 100,000 of them. So it's already kind of out there, so, but it just hasn't been mainstream here in the US. But, and I was trying to kind of Google search around, and there's not a lot I could really find. So I often, what I do is I go to Quora. And what's nice about Quora is, like, you know, it's people answering the questions. So it's not like, you know, Google is, you know, always just takes you to links and, you know, articles or forums and things. But Quora is nice because you actually get someone to answer that, you know, an answer that hasn't been published to the web yet. So I highly recommend you guys use Quora if you have, like, just any questions that you know, about the future, about what industry and you're not sure of yet, use Quora. So I was just kind of curious. I said, you know, I asked, is it possible to create a virtual country, maybe with, you know, VR and Ethereum? And this person answered back, absolutely. And I guess so there's an example in South Korea from the Moen Group. It's working on this idea. It's called Oasis City. So it's really cool. There's a really cool graphic of it. And, it's basically that. It is, they're trying to make kind of a virtual city that in VR that, like, you know, I don't know how it really works or how many people can access it. But it seems very promising, kind of this utopian vision of a city. I know it says, you know, like the picture has a very futuristic, I don't know, so it just really piqued my interest. So I'm just glad that there's people already thinking about it. I, for whatever reason, I don't think that these things are very mainstream in the US yet, and they definitely need to be. But I could include, hopefully, this link. It's under my Quora account, so I'll try to see if I can give you guys this link and see if you can look at it. It's not too long of an answer, but it says their long-term plan calls for a fully immersive series of worlds complete with an internal blockchain-based ecosystem. So that's kind of where the Ethereum will most likely come in. And I like the last thing. One of the last things he says is, if you think of this new virtual world as the rational descendant of the internet, there is a lot of explosive growth in store for it in the near future. So that I think about these things a lot, like, you know, getting back to Tim Berners-Lee, you know, the kind of the creator of the internet, and what is going to be that next big revolutionary thing to happen, the shift in humanity. You know, the internet was that. What is that? Is it kind of these VR worlds? And so that's kind of piquing my interest now. So yeah, pay attention to this space, and we're going to get into a little bit more of that. I'm going to take a little side note, and then we'll kind of come back to this topic. The next one I do want to hit before I kind of forget is the theory of genius. So if you know Paul Graham, he released just another essay called The Theory of Genius, behind that, like the bus ticket theory. And, you know, Paul Graham is the kind of the founder of Y Combinator. I believe the co-founder, you know, with Jessica Livingston, I know. And so he released this essay not too long, about a week ago. It's really good. I highly recommend it. It's not that long. The bus ticket theory of genius. And basically, I'll try to sum it up quickly. Just kind of how genius is another way of thinking about it. Basically, the moral of the story is, I guess there was some person who almost kind of had an obsession with collecting bus tickets, different kinds, and just, you know, it didn't serve a purpose. It wasn't for money or recognition or anything. That it, this person just had a kind of an abnormal obsession with this, and that's kind of, in his take, that's why this essay is written. It's like, well, that there's something there, that why things to people kind of get to a breakthrough because of this, you know, insurmountable, like, abnormal obsession about something. They just stick with it longer than most people, you know. And so the idea is, you know, if you're interested in something, try not to do it just for, well, like, the recognition, and don't do it because you think that it's going to lead to a good outcome. It's no, well, the genius and the breakthroughs happen because that person was just obsessed with the topic itself, just for the sake of the topic. You know, he talks about, like, Darwin and, you know, the breakthroughs that he was able to come about because, you know, it's like he stuck with these topics longer than anyone else. So it's pretty eye opening. I myself, you know, I'm willing to admit that I kind of don't have this personality. You know, it's maybe I will someday with something, but I know right now I don't. So I'm kind of, you know, and that's okay. I would like to find those people, though. I think it's very interesting that I do believe that this way of living, this kind of thinking, is what genius is. A lot of it. It's not just natural ability and interest, but it is this obsession with a topic, with a problem that people are so relentless to solve. And yeah, I think that's really special. So yeah, check that out. It was all over Twitter. And you could probably just Google search Paul Graham, Theory of Genius, and it'll come up. It's a good read. It's not that long. So go check that out. Okay, accelerating scientific progress. I think this is what we'll end on here, because this is like one of my favorite things right now to talk about is progress studies, and kind of the name of my podcast is Human Progress. It is kind of, you know, I'm still, you know, Peter Thiel and the idea of innovating in atoms and how we've kind of lost our ambition with progress, you know, we want to get back there. Well, you know, Tyler Cowen and Patrick Collison have kind of revived that a little bit with this whole progress studies movement. And so just a few days ago, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, he's been having a series of talks, conversations with people, and he had them on. Patrick Collison and Tyler Cowen to talk about accelerating progress. It's you can find it on YouTube. Again, I'll include this link in the notes. So it's about, you know, it's 1 hour and 9 minutes long. Really good. It's a little bit dragged out, but it's still very good information. You know, you do have to kind of talk about the past a lot in this, you know, progress studies. We have to, you know, we have to understand where progress came from, you know, our biggest kind of leaps and bounds of, so they talk a lot about the different Enlightenment periods, you know, the Scottish Enlightenment, Vienna, many just very big innovative periods in our history. We're doing now with it in 2019, you know, the reason why this is resurfacing is because it seems like we have lost that spirit of enlightenment and progress. So one of the takeaways, well, I'll talk about two major takeaways. Patrick was saying that there are, and you guys have, I mean, it's kind of common sense. There are so many people in higher education these days as a, you know, compared to like the 17, 1800s, there's so much more people in college and grad school and tenured professors. So you would think that it would lead to a lot more scientific breakthroughs and progress. Well, the reality is not really. It's almost the same as it ever was. So the problem is that there has been, you know, an exponential growth in input. There are so many more people in science and STEM and working on these hard problems, but why are we not reaching these breakthroughs that we once had? So you think about the questions like, is scientific progress just getting that much harder? Some of that is true, you know, especially, you know, theoretical physics, astrophysics, but, you know, biomedicine, it is harder to, I think, come to breakthroughs. We have come a long way, and I think it is getting a lot harder. But a lot of it too is our institutions are kind of slowing down. We've kind of gotten to this complacent place where everything is, a lot of people think like everything's kind of understood. We know how things work, and there's just not enough oomph and like hard work on hard problems. So you guys can watch it for yourself. You know, I don't really do it justice, but very interesting. And basically, I mean, we want to kind of rally a lot of people around this issue, and we want to start working on hard problems again. And I have kind of my own two cents. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, we are comfortable, we're complacent, we have our 9-to-5 jobs, we're making enough money, we have enough to live, and we just kind of want to, you know, a little bit of coasting through life and things, and there is some of that. So, but this is kind of a rally to get back to a more ambitious, imaginative future that we know we want. Okay, the last part of this, though, I want to make sure I hit is, and the most important part, and it took a long time to get there, but like solutions. So Zuckerberg was talking about, and I'm going to play a little bit of this too, that he believes that kind of, obviously we know that there's a huge push. And there always has been cities, the big cities themselves are such a natural gravitation for, you know, progress and innovation, and people flock to them for opportunities, not just job opportunities, but, you know, fun things, friends. I mean, everything happens in the big cities. Well, he thinks that, I mean, obviously there still are a lot of people left out, and I think he wants to have, again, this whole idea of virtual cities where you can just live anywhere. You don't have to pick up and move. So I'll play a little bit of this just so you kind of hear him actually say it. So here we go.
Constraints or concerns about people building things so that way you can get more supply, bring the cost down. But, you know, I happen to have think a different thing is probably the right solution. You know, in 2019, it's a lot easier to move bits around than it is atoms. So rather than people moving, inventing a new Hyperloop or cars, I tend to think that the set of technologies around whether it's augmented reality or virtual reality or video presence that just let people be where they want to be physically and feel present with other people wherever they need to be to do their job, to connect with the people they care about. That feels to me like the better long-term solution. Don't make everyone move to cities. Make it so people can choose where they want to be and can get access to all the opportunities they want everyone. So those are kind of, it's hard for me to...
Yeah, so I really like that idea, and I'm really going to try to pursue this in the back of my mind, kind of the little side project that, you know, because I actually think and if he's saying it, and you know how he bought Oculus, so Oculus is now a Facebook company, so, and this goes back to Adam Draper, what he was talking about, I think the big thing in VR is going to be a software company that's going to make something that everyone really wants. You know, the VR a lot is about gaming, you know, that's kind of the, in, I guess, Beat Saber, that thing Oculus bought, and I think it's cool, but we just have not hit the mainstream iPhone moment of VR. And I think it's because, well, gaming is just not going to it's not going to resonate with everybody, you know, so I don't think it's going to be gaming. I think it is going to be like these virtual living communities, you know, because heck, I want it. I want to try to be right there with them in Silicon Valley and collaborate with them. Like, that's been my dream for years now, and I just haven't been able to get out there. So, okay. Yeah. So like, that's actually really hits home for me, and I'm going to try to pursue it. If you guys want to follow me on that and try to knock on their door and see if we can make it happen, let's rally some VR developers, rally them and see if we can make a team together and make it that happen. But all right, guys, we're over the 20-minute mark. I don't want to make it too longer than this. So again, everything's going to be included in the show notes. Start talking about it, tweeting about it, contact the companies that I mentioned, see if you can work for them, invest in them, because that's what we're here for. Human progress, how to win. Because we want to get after it. We want to ride this wave, you know, just like the tech boom in 99-2000. We want to try to ride this next wave into the 2020s here. So stay hungry, guys. Get after it. We'll see you in the next episode. It'll be episode 10. So I'm pretty excited about that. So, all right, guys, take it easy. We'll see you then. Bye.